Well, good morning, everyone. How are you all? Good? What a lovely time of worship, and I'm so thankful that Jesus himself is here right now, and his presence is here, and his spirit is moving in our hearts already. And he's moving all the time, isn't he? His love is continually washing over our lives and holding us up. And so we just want to honor him today, and just want to say that we love Jesus and we love you, Father. And for those that don't know me, my name is Joel, and I've been in and around Rivers for the last 25 years, which is quite a long time. I didn't know I'd been around that long, but time kind of flies. And fun fact about me is that I used to play rugby league. And I used to be pretty good until everyone started getting bigger than me, which was about under sevens. And so that's when I ended my rugby league career. Today's sermon is on courage and the call to move forward. And when asking the Lord what I might talk on today, Joshua 1:6 just kept flashing in my mind, and the words, "be strong and courageous," just kept repeating over and over again. How do I work this? Is that working? Yeah. So I'll just read this. "No man will be able to stand before you to oppose you as long as you live. Just as I was present with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and confident and courageous, for you will give this people as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." And the context around this passage was that Moses had just died, and the Lord was commissioning Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And there was a transition of leadership from one generation to the next. And in this transition, the predominant command was to be strong and courageous. And this phrase was repeated four times to Joshua in his commissioning by the Lord, and so it must be important. All of us go through times of transition, which requires courage because change is hard. And as we continue to be a church that seeks the transfer and growth of God's kingdom from one generation to another, courage is going to be required by all of us. To begin, let's look at what other people have to say about what courage is. Nelson Mandela defines courage as not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. Muhammad Ali says, "He who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life." And Brené Brown says this about courage: the root of the word courage is cor, which is the Latin word for heart. In one of its earliest forms, courage originally meant to speak one's mind by telling all of one's heart. And so courage is putting our vulnerability on the line. And so if we put these elements of these quotes together, we could say that courage consists of taking risk, stepping past fear, being vulnerable, and living wholehearted lives. What do you think the most courageous thing someone can do is? Shout it out if you've got an answer. Love? Great. Die? Yeah. They're both the right answer. What was that, sorry? Yeah, that takes great courage, doesn't it?
Bungee jump.
Bungee jump? That takes courage. That takes courage. I wanted to quit so many times the last couple of weeks. But they're really good answers, and they're all right. Oh, you got one, Harold? Being a parent, that takes courage, doesn't it?
Saving someone else's
Yeah, that takes courage. Yeah. Yeah, they're really great answers. And I reckon the pinnacle of courage is a man stepping forward to die on a cross. Courage is a father sending his one and only son on a rescue mission to purchase back his lost kids and to pay the price for our ransom, even though we rebelled against him, even though we rejected him, the one who is love, the one who created and formed us. Courage is Jesus stepping up to receive the full wrath of God's justice upon himself instead of it falling on us. Courage is going through the heartache of loving radically. And that takes vulnerability, it takes risk, and it takes stepping into the darkness. Let's look a bit more into the vulnerability of Jesus' courage. John 1, 10, 11 says, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. Can you imagine the heartbreak? Imagine creating the world and forming man and breathing the breath of life into him and then coming to man and him not recognizing you. Imagine coming down to earth and confronting that kind of disconnect and still living the way that Jesus did. And this is further emphasized in the Garden of Gethsemane. John 18:2-9 says, now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Like Judas betrayed Jesus, not just anywhere, but in a place that was so sacred to their friendship. And so Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, he stepped forward and said to them, whom do you seek? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, I am he. Jesus took a step forward and owned his identity, knowing what it would cost him, knowing all that would happen, he stepped forward. He came to earth knowing that his love was going to be rejected by the ones closest to him. He knew all that would abandon him in his most needed hour. He knew that one of his closest friends would betray him. And he knew that the ones he created and died for would kill him. And yet he still put his heart and his body on the line, and he stepped forward and put everything on the table. Before we go any further, I want to take this moment for us to take communion. And I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to your heart the courage of Jesus and what it meant for him in that moment, knowing what was ahead, but still choosing to move forward, to take a step forward and to stand in his identity as the Savior, willingly stepping into the will of his Father because of his love for his Father. And as you sit with him, ask him to fill your heart with a revelation of what it was like for him, the Father, to send his Son, knowing that he would have to watch him be obedient to death on a cross. And after considering this, thank him for taking the courage to endure the cross for your sake. So we invite you now just to come and take the cups and the crackers, and we'll just spend a moment now. And so with Jesus' courage as a foundation, I just want to quickly touch on two elements of courage, which the hope is that it would empower us to take courage this year. And those two things are, number one is that courage is the decision to move past fear, and the two, courage is empowered by promise. The decision to move past fear is ultimately the action of opening our hearts up to trust the Father, to receive His love, and to be perfected by His love. When I talk about fear, I'm not talking about the fear of being chased by a tiger, which is a good fear. We want that. But I'm talking more about the fear of abandonment, the fear of betrayal, the fear of not having enough, the fear of failure, the fear of not being enough, the fear of rejection, those types of fears. 1 John 4:18 says this, is that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Fear is not something that can be cast out, but it's something that disappears with love. It disappears when love comes. And so the core of all our fears will come back to the absence of love and those times in our lives where others have failed in their love for us. To move past fear then means a combination of forgiving, trusting, and allowing ourselves to be transformed by God's love. And did you know that the only time the disciples asked for more faith in the scriptures was when the Lord was speaking to them about forgiving people time and time again? It's in Luke 17:3-5. They never asked for more faith to heal or to cast out demons, but only to continually forgive. And so when others fail in their love for us, it causes us pain. And because of this, our hearts go into protection mode because we don't want to feel that pain again. And so trust is a mechanism we use to either open or close our hearts to people and to God. And so the question is, how do we trust when our hearts are scared? And I think it's really important to take notice of what we are thinking in regards to our thought life concerning the barriers of fear in our life. Because when we become stuck in our fears, we usually tend to project outcomes based on ours and other people's else's ability rather than expecting outcomes based on God's promises, His power, His presence, and His ability. And so to step past fear, we need to make the decision to reframe our people-based projected outcomes into God-based expected realities. I just want to give you an example. It's a really basic example. But maybe your fear statement could look like this. If I tell people what I really think from my heart, people are going to laugh and I'll feel stupid and ashamed and people will think less of me. But what if we inserted some of God's nature and His promises into this projection and said something like this? If I tell people what I really think from my heart, people might or might not laugh at me, but if they do, I have a Father who is the Father of all comfort and who loves me and in whom my value and worth won't diminish in His eyes. Again, that's just a basic example. But I want to encourage people to be creative with the help of the Holy Spirit and with Scripture and to start to actively dismantle fear by upgrading these fear-based projections with God-based expectations. Fear statements will always make us or others bigger than God and work to make our world smaller. Whereas true statements will empower our hearts to take steps of trust toward God, even though our hearts might have doubts. And true statements will always make God bigger than ourselves and others, and will expand our world in accordance with who God is. And one thing that helps build these statements are promises, which leads to the second aspect of courage, is that courage is empowered by promise. Our Father loves to reward us and to make promises to us. When He makes a covenant or promise, He will always hold up His part of the deal. And He uses rewards and promises to help motivate us towards holiness and righteousness. The Sermon on the Mount is one example of this. It says, when you pray, don't pray in the streets, but go into your room and lock the door, and your Father will reward you. When you give, don't let what your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and your Father will reward you. And there's so many other scriptures like that that demonstrates that God as a Father loves rewarding His children. And in the Bible, we see both personal and general promises. Sometimes these promises are at the time of when He asks us to do something, but sometimes they're revealed throughout the journey and along the way. And we only find out about them when we act upon His word, even without understanding. When the Lord called Abram, He said, "Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God's call on Abram came with a command first and then a promise. And we see that the scope of God's promises are not limited to us as individuals, but extend to people and nations around us and to generations after us. It's always bigger than us. So I'm just gonna take a drink. However, I like boxes, but if we look at the Apostle Paul's calling, it doesn't fit into this nice and tidy box. When God called Saul, who later became Paul, He simply blinded him by a bright light and told him to go into a city to be told what to do next. Unlike Abram's call, Paul's call didn't come with a blessing. In fact, the only promise given to Paul was that he would be used by God and to suffer for the sake of the gospel. So it seems like he got a bit of the raw end of the deal, right? However, there's one verse that indicates that Paul came into the greatest reward and promise there is, which I think empowered him to continually be courageous. Philippians 3:11 says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." The greatest reward and promise we will ever receive will be knowing Christ and attaining to the resurrection of the dead. It's being alive in Christ. But in addition to the promise of abundant life in Christ is the promise that God is with us. Time and time again, the command to fear in Scripture is always accompanied with the promise that God is with us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong, take courage, don't be intimidated, don't give them a second thought, because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down, he won't leave you." If we lived with such a knowing that God is with us, that he won't let us down, that he won't ever leave us, and that he will perfectly love us, how different would we live? Generally speaking, the thing that empowers us to take courage is that God is with us. And the thing that gives courage purpose is the outcome of knowing him and attaining to the resurrection of the dead. And so, in summary, the Father of all creation and his Son, Jesus Christ, have put their hearts and their bodies on the line so that those who believe could have a full, abundant, and eternal life. But your life might not look like that at the moment. Fullness, joy, peace, and freedom might be far from your reality at the moment. For some of you, you might be in a season of transition. And to continue on transitioning will require continuous courage. But the promise for you is that his power is being made perfect in your weakness. The promise for you is that there is wisdom when you ask. The promise for you is that the fullness of the riches of Christ are available to you as you take steps forward, following Jesus with a whole heart. He is with you. There might be some of you here today who have struggled with fear, anxiety, and depression for as long as you can remember, and you don't know how to be free. And sometimes even getting up takes all your strength and courage. The transformation and outworking of freedom may be taking longer than you want. But I want to encourage you that if you look back at the Lord's hand on your life, even if you only see in part, you will see his love and his touch and his hand and his power that has come through for you in certain moments in an undeniable way. And because he has done it in those times, he'll do it again, and he'll keep on breaking through with his light. So there is hope for you. Continue to trust and continue to take courage. There might be some of you here today who are going through relationship struggles that you can't see a way out of. You might feel so hopeless in regards to any kind of change or resolution, but his promise to you is that he is working out all things for your good as you continue to love him. Don't give up trusting that he has a way forward. And don't shy away from the uncomfortable conversations that might need to be had. Take courage. He is with you. There might be others here today where you're at a crossroad, where you know that the Lord has put something on your heart which you need to actively step into. And maybe you're scared that he won't come through for you. Try him. Wherever you're at, take the risk to trust in the Father's love for you and step beyond the doubts of your heart. It's not the step of courage that's the transformative part, but that just is a step closer to an encounter with the Father's love, which is the only thing that can transform our hearts. In everything that you will face this year, Jesus has walked the path before you, and with the same love that the Father loved him, Father loves you. It's the same love. God has not withheld any part of his heart from you. He is for you and will never give up on you. And he will strengthen you like nothing else you've ever experienced. He will sustain you and he will look after you. And so as we spend just a few moments now before we start the last song, there is a piece of paper on your seat with space to write down one of your fears. If you don't have, I'm sorry I didn't print out enough, but if you don't have one, it's going to show up on the screen. And being as specific as you can. Write down the fear that comes to mind. And then spend some time asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom and truth using scripture where possible, just to try and reframe that fear by inserting God's nature, his promises, and really changing it into a God-based expected reality. And then sometime this week, I'm a very practical person, I want you to take one step to move past it and lean into the promises of God, even if your heart is scared. And then when you have done it, I want you to share it with someone. Share the victory, no matter how small, because courage is contagious. Does that kind of make sense? But I just want to close in prayer. And there's a prayer team that are just to the side of the stage here. And if you need strength and courage and love, there's a prayer in Ephesians 3, which is really an impartation of God's love and God's strength. And there, yeah, if you're in that place where you just need more strength and need a revelation of God's love for it to go a bit deeper in your heart, that's going to be over there, and they're just going to pray straight from Scripture this prayer of an impartation of God's strength and his love. And so feel free to come up between now and any time after that. Father, we just want to acknowledge that you are love. That you are altogether good. That you are full of grace. That you're full of truth. And we just acknowledge that there are a lot of things in our life that we think we can do. But there are also a lot of things in our life where we know we can't do. And we need your help. I want to thank you that you never give up on us and that your plans for us are to receive all the love that you have for us and to give that love away. And I just ask that this year that you would fill our hearts with a love beyond anything that we've ever experienced. And in such a way that our fears would just start to lose their power. And we just acknowledge that your name, Jesus, is above every other name. And that there is power in your name. And may you grant us hearts to trust. To trust you, to trust the goodness of your nature. And we just say yes to you doing whatever you want. To transform our hearts into love. because really we just want to be like you. And thank you that you have given us a way to do that just by your Holy Spirit.